Welcome to Arkansas Cooks. This is your host, Mary Tweet, and I'm here to meet and eat with Arkansas Cooks, and then I tell you all about it. South on Main Street is where it is at in downtown Little Rock. Don't go away. You're listening to Arkansas Cooks. Good afternoon. I am Mary Tweet, and you are listening to Arkansas Cooks. The old Juanita's on South Main Street is gone. It is moved to the River Market, I think, and it closed quite a while ago. The building that housed that old Juanita's was empty for a long time, and it was suddenly bought by the Oxford America. Now, Juanita's was known for a place of food, but also had a lot of concerts, and a lot of bands came through Juanita's. And when the Oxford American bought the building, they're the Southern Magazine of Good Writing. They're still located on the UCA campus, but they bought this building for a place where they could have a venue in Little Rock. And so they partnered up with a great guy named Matthew Bell, Chef Matthew Bell, and he created South on Main. You know, the magazine itself is about Southern writing and music and food, and so it was perfect that this South on Main, which is Southern food, or the South on Main Street here in Little Rock, it was a perfect fit, perfect. And Matthew Bell, formerly of the Capitol Hotel, is the owner and the chef, and he had a vision for a great Southern restaurant, kind of an upscale one. So I got to sit down with him for a great interview about South on Main. So here we go.
On Main. Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, I heard about South on Main for a long time. This is in the old Juanita's building.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard about it for a long time. I thought, that is brilliant. You know, Oxford America, kind of music and stories and writers in the South. And putting food in the South, they always mm-hmm. do a food issue.
Yep.
So doing food in the South in the same building made 100% sense to me.
It really did. And when I found out that Warwick had secured this building, you know, I know there was kind of a rumor of him wanting to do something like this. So when I heard he got the building, I immediately contacted him. And we had a meeting in just before Thanksgiving of, I guess it was 2011 now. It's been that long ago. And we just kind of, quickly decided that we had an understanding of what this thing would be and moved forward. And it took a long time, a lot of construction, a lot of, I think from the outside looking in, it seemed like a lot of unnecessary delays. But we really wanted to make sure this thing was right when we opened. And us and Oxford American had a good, clear vision of what we wanted to do in the space.
Yeah, and so the old Juanita space is actually big, open, kind of almost anything they want it to be space. It's a big, open room, mm-hmm. and what used to be the bar is now the restaurant and a stage.
Yeah, yeah. We, with the kitchen this size, we knew we couldn't tackle both spaces, and Oxford really wanted to have something where they could also, you know, host gallery events and things that they could do well, the restaurant's running, and so that space we use just for that. Tonight there's a book reading, I believe, from a guy that was at the in Dallas when JFK was assassinated. So that's the exact kind of thing that they do over there. And then we run the restaurant. And from the outside in, it looks like it's just a restaurant until you really start to explore all the things that Oxford American's doing over here. The thing that we're really hanging our hat on right now is Local Live. That's every Wednesday night. It's free to the public. Landers Fiat of Little Rock has underwritten the programming, and that makes it an excellent opportunity for people to not have to spend any money to see some of these great local artists that even a $5 cover could keep people from coming
to. Yeah.
And that allows the artists to get paid. us to have a great restaurant scene on that night, and people to really enjoy the local talent that we have here and in the surrounding states.
I think that's really incredible. I mean, that's going on beyond the, you know, just serving local. You're serving local in a big artistic way. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, you also have people coming in on Saturday nights, and so you're doing other concerts here that people do pay for.
Yeah, once a month or so, we're offering a ticketed event that's a larger touring act. We've had Iris Dement was our first big ticketed show. We just had Marcus Roberts Trio.
Roseanne Cash
is coming Saturday, and it's amazing to get those big artists in a space this intimate and small, and allow Little Rock to really tour the South without ever leaving. You know, it's an incredible opportunity for, I think, Little Rock and people, you know, in the surrounding areas. You know, so we have a lot of people come up from Hot Springs, too.
You're focusing on Southern musicians as well.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. You know, the goal with everything from Oxford American and the food is to have this cohesive idea that we're exploring the South through its culture, whether it's music, art, literature, or food in our case, and my case specifically. We want to not look at just Arkansas cuisine. Of course, we use all our local farmers and food purveyors as much as possible, but we want to offer dishes that go beyond Little Rock and go beyond the Gulf Coast, which is really what's focused on in Arkansas. We want to look at those food heritages in the Ozarks, the Smoky Mountains, the Low Country, and really have this idea of exploring the South and their seasons and regions in one space.
Yeah, I love it. I really think it's fantastic. You know, when you called it South on Main and you were going to feature really Southern cuisine in a really unique way, you know, people often say, what is Arkansas cuisine, or what is, you know, there's Tex-Mex and there's mm-hmm. Cajun and there's a lot of different things. But I think what you're doing, for example, with your bologna sandwich is off the charts.
Yes.
I mean, it's a fabulous bologna sandwich. In the image of mine was kind of a poor man's sandwich. Bologna was cheap. If you put a fried egg on it or not, you whatever. But it was that bologna you got at the supermarket, it would curl up, and mm-hmm. this is not your traditional Oscar Mayer bologna sandwich.
No, we actually get our bologna out of Memphis from a company called Feinberg Bologna, and they've been there in Memphis for probably about 50 years, and they have an interesting Arkansas tie where they're co-owned by an Arkansas company, and they get to produce those products and do them in a higher level than mm-hmm. say your average bologna that you
right.
purchase. And you know, we want to offer refined Southern food, but we also don't want to depart so far that it becomes unrecognizable to people in Little Rock or the South. I spent a lot of years at the Capitol Hotel with Lee Richardson, and we really tried and worked hard at identifying what exactly Arkansas cuisine is, and I think its geographic location lends to the fact that it's a lot of the South all in one place. And the comparisons from the Ozarks to the Delta really kind of ring out between the Smoky Mountains and the Gulf Coast. It's a little bit of the South in one
right.
state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's what makes it so interesting to me, is that it really is a little piece of this and a little piece of that. And, you know, this is what my grandma made, and this is what my mom made, and my mom was from Texas, but she brought this over, you know. Mm-hmm. So it becomes this great melting pot for all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to talk about some of your other specials, too. Really, the bologna sandwich knocked my socks off, because I wasn't expecting that, and my husband loves a fried bologna sandwich, and he let me taste it. I mean, I really didn't think he was going to, but it was fabulous. And, you know, great French fries, which is always a key thing for me.
Yep.
So you also doing meatloaf?
Yeah, we do. Today, Thursday, was actually our meatloaf day. We get a great product out of Missouri called Creekstone Farms beef, and we get whole ribeyes in, and we butcher those down, and we actually use the ribeye cap, which is kind of the top part, for lunch, and then we use the eye of ribeye for dinner, and then anything we butcher off that, we put into our grind, and we really needed to find an outlet for it, and our patty melt on Monday and our meatloaf on Thursday is a really great way to keep that product moving, and also, you know, do things that are real nostalgic for people. You know, they really ring out, and the only hard thing ever is to try and make it our way and still satisfy those people that, you know, want it the way their grandma made or wanted it the way that they had it growing up. But I think the key to some of our success is that those products we make, when we do it our way, it draws that nostalgic feeling out of people without them thinking, oh, that isn't the way I had it growing up. You know, it brings out that food memory without a direct comparison to what they grew up with.
You're exactly right on that. Because the other thing I know is that the quality of the food, whether it's the meatloaf or the bologna or whatever, is high quality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious to me that taste is important to you. You know, that seasoning and taste is very, very crucial. Just, you know, it's obvious.
Absolutely. And, you know, we try and not let anything fall by the wayside. You know, like our French fries, we want to make sure those are as high quality as all the other products we offer, not just kind of a one-off, like, oh, we do French fries. We want to do the best French fries.
Right.
And, you know, our measure of what is the best is sometimes more internally driven than externally. We want to make sure that we are the most happy with our product before yeah. it gets to the customer. You know, everybody's got their own tastes and everybody's got their own food memories. And if we can give what we think is the best product we can offer, and put that in front of people, it usually leads to success. That it also allows us to, you know, do things our way and add the touches that we think make a product great and not have to directly struggle with what is the exact perfect French fry that everybody wants, you know.
It's where, you know, it's how Olive Garden got to their sauce. I heard this, actually, this is a food story that I heard, which was that Olive Garden picked their sauce because it was the least offensive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to offend anybody. We can use it. Like, what?
Yeah.
Is that about?
Yeah.
So let's talk about, too, because you also do fried chicken
mm-hmm.
as a special one day.
Yeah.
And talk about a little bit of how that's different, or is it different?
Well, our fried chicken is pretty straightforward. It's a buttermilk brine fried chicken. I think the seasoned flour that we use really gives it its unique taste, and it's really nothing beyond what anybody would think. We use garlic powder, onion powder, smoked paprika, black pepper, and cayenne. And what we try and do to make it our own is make sure that we're sourcing really high-quality garlic powder, onion powder. We use what's called La Chinata, which is a smoked pimentone from Spain. And then, you know, we use fresh ground pepper instead of already ground. And we really just, you know, even something as simple as fried chicken, we try and look at every detail of that process, you know, how long it sits in the buttermilk, how much breading gets put on it. You know, all our chickens are from Falling Sky Farms, which is another really important decision for us to make, is, you know, not only support those local farmers, but find a way to make sure that we're supported as well financially. And, you know, with Falling Sky Farms, you pay a higher price, so the trick is to make sure you utilize the whole bird, from the chicken thighs we serve at lunch to the whole chickens we butcher for fried chicken. And then at dinner, we actually serve the chicken breast, and we kind of sneak in a piece of our fried chicken as a surprise. It's not listed on the menu. It just says roast chicken breast. And then when you get it, you get a fried chicken leg with our pepper jelly. And that pepper jelly seems to be the thing that really sets our chicken apart. We use it on the lunch chicken and the dinner chicken. Yeah, and it's a little bit of a nod to the hot chicken in Nashville. They have their way of doing it, which is a lot of cayenne and dry hot spices. And we wanted to do that and not be directly compared to Nashville hot chicken. Sure. So we use a hot pepper jelly, which most of our peppers, you know, we get as many as we can in the summer and put up as much pepper jelly as we can. And most of them came from Armstead Farms out in Jerusalem, Arkansas. Rusty and Sue Newfer are... they're incredible farmers, but they've also really pushed other local farms to compete and to market to local restaurants and grow what local restaurants want. And, you know, for years at the Capitol, Rusty and Sue gave us exactly what we wanted. And I've been able to, you know, take those relationships I've formed and use them here now. It's really outstanding what they do.
And then the last thing that you have on specials on Fridays, which is kind of what you were talking about before, the mix of Cajun, which is a poor boy, and catfish, which is very kind of Arkansas, you know, catfish Friday.
Yeah, and you know, Fish Friday's always been a thing, no matter where I've lived or how long I've worked in restaurants. It's definitely a great day to sell catfish or any fish. And we, again, you know, we get whole catfish fillets that we butcher for our catfish on the lunch and dinner menu, and then we're able to utilize the trim off that to make our catfish po' boys. So we're getting good utilizations, and that helps us keep our price down. And, you know, we really wanted to be affordable and offer local products at a fair price. And, you know, the way we have to do that is really utilize everything. And, you know, I think initially and probably still I'll fight the stigma of being at Ashley's with small portions and inflated prices. But, you know, I really wanted to depart from that and not offer huge portions, but definitely offer a fair portion for the price and use those local products that people, you know, I think will come to realize more and more how important that is. Even with all the, quote, foodies and local farmers markets, that's still a small portion of Arkansas that really understands where we're getting our food.
Well, you know, I will tell you this, Matthew, because I think that, you know, one of the things I was impressed with when I came here is that I felt like things were portioned really well. I'm one of those people, I don't know if that's odd or not, I hate going to a restaurant and ordering something and it's huge, like five people can eat it. And what I thought when I came here, I said, okay, thank you. This is a real portion of meat, a real portion of a vegetable, a real portion of nothing seemed to be huge. And, you know, it was plenty of food for me. It didn't seem like I was wasting a lot of food, which is what I get into. It's like people are wasting this because it's getting thrown away or it's not being eaten. So to me, to your credit, I really, you know, I think it's a huge plus that you do things in portions.
Yeah, I think we struggled initially with our portion sizes. You know, I think people thought they were going to come in and get a real, you know, since we're Southern food, they look for that kind of, you know, smothered and covered large portion. But for everybody that said they thought it might be small, we've had more people say that they really actually like it.
And yeah.
Especially at lunch, you know, we want to really attract that business person that can come down here, eat a good lunch in a reasonable amount of time and go back to work without needing a nap.
Exactly. And, you know, and like I said, you're not wasting it. It's not being thrown away or it's not, you know, it makes sense to me. I actually came down for lunch one day and had I think it was the catfish and the Hoppin' John exquisite, just really great. Like it was not this huge piece. It was just what I would eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's probably our most popular main entree at lunch is the catfish Hoppin' John, and I really think a big part of its popularity is you know, not only the great rice grits that we do, and that's something I definitely picked up from Lee Richardson and will carry forward forever. I think it's a great use for local Arkansas rice, but you know, also sourcing great local field peas, and then we get pork butts from Falling Sky Farms also, and we cure those and then smoke them to make our own tasso. And that, you know, the attention to each part of the process and each ingredient that goes into it, I think really shows through, because all it is rice, peas, pickled tomatoes, and some fried okra. But when you get oriented with each of those ingredients and pay attention to each of those, then it comes together and makes something more than the, you know, more than the sum of its parts, you know.
And so I want to just expound a little bit on the rice grits you're talking about, because what they're doing, instead of using grits, which is a hominy that has been, it's basically, it's kind of corn that's been soaked and it's enlarged and dried, and then it becomes hominy and they grind it up for grits, you're talking about they are grinding rice and cooking it basically the same way as a grit.
Yeah, we are. It gives it a really creamy texture, and the Arkansas rice we get has such an incredible nutty flavor for a white rice, and it really almost brings it out more as a grit than a just plain rice. In the Carolinas, they have what are called Midlands, and when they shell the rice, they end up with these broken pits of pieces of rice, and that has always been kind of something that's been specific to the Carolinas and their rice production. And Carolina Gold Rice is famous for selling their Midlands, but it's a, you know, it's kind of our take on that, you know, Midlands are really amazing. I was first introduced to them by a chef in Birmingham, Alabama, actually, named Chris Hastings, who's a great chef and really, really pushes Southern food in Birmingham and has an exquisite restaurant called Hot and Hot Fish Company if you're ever in Birmingham.
Right.
Outstanding.
Okay. Yeah, so I love that take on it. I think that, you know, when you're talking about the South and when people, I think people are kind of surprised when they come here because it's not the big gloppy gravies and, you know, what people kind of commonly think of as Southern food, but it seems like it is kind of a step up from the big old blue plate lunch that's kind of slopped on there.
Yeah, we want to certainly present everything in a more refined way, and I've really shied away from saying upscale Southern because, you know, as you can see, we're really casual. We really want you to walk in and feel like you're in the South without having to overtly, you know, hang chicken coops or do anything that is too, you know, almost cliche Southern. We want to really make people feel like they're in a Southern home than in a Southern themed restaurant.
I was going to say, now you're in the Oxford American building, and for those of you who don't know, maybe those five of you out there who don't know, Oxford America is a publication that's been. It started out in Mississippi, but it's ended up in Arkansas for the last 10, 15 so years or so. And they really report on Southern writers and Southern songwriters and Southern food and really everything Southern. And it is it's kind of a premier magazine. It comes out once a month.
Quarterly.
It comes out quarterly. But there's beautiful, I love in your in your restaurant here on South on Main, I love how you've got the big Oxford America covers that frame your stage. Mm-hmm. Plus, you have lots of typewriters sitting around, and it looks like there have been writers in here. You know, this kind of looks to me like the place a bunch of Southern writers would have gotten together, and they would have been, you know, chit-chatting about what are you working on, and, you know, let's have a glass of wine, or let's have a scotch, or whatever you're going to have.
Yeah, well, and I think the level of comfort that we've established here lends to that, and I think we'll see that more and more. One of my favorite things that's happened at the restaurant is we don't really open until 5 o'clock, but we have a lot of neighbors and a lot of people that come daily at 4 o'clock, and they meet with their other neighbor, and they really represent South Main and this Quapaw neighborhood and Soma neighborhood by coming down here and meeting with their friends and making it a place that they can really attach themselves to and feel like they're part of what we do here. And, you know, ultimately our Oxford American partnership gives us the ability to pursue a little national attention, and we hope to be that place that people bring their friends to when they visit from out of state. But ultimately it's the neighborhood and Little Rock that's going to support us daily, and that's been my real favorite part. We have a couple neighbors that, you know, they're best friends with the bartender already. We know their drinks, we see them daily, and that's really important to us, and I think that makes it a really special place.
Well, and, you know, I know that the whole Soma community down here is really in the South of Main community, called the Soma community down here on South of Main, just south of the interstate, has the real drive down here has been to revitalize the neighborhood and look at the culture, and you know, so you've got the Root and Boulevard and the Green Corner store and a billiard place that has a great hamburger, and, you know, and it's all kind of wrapped up here, all, and now South on Main, which is one of the finer restaurants in town, but right here, you know, amongst all of that.
Well, you bring up a good point. You know, we've been able to come into this neighborhood as it's had some momentum. You know, people like Jack down at the Root, he really moved in here with the faith that momentum that was kind of promised by the neighborhood associations and the city would continue. And, you know, people like him and Boulevard and Green Corner Store and Loblolly down there, they've paved the way for us to be a part of this. And we really love those local businesses, and we really try and, you know, be involved with them as much as possible. And and, you know, make sure that, that people that come here know about those places also. If you know, I really firmly believe that if you're not going to choose me, I really want you to choose local. And I think in the coming months, you'll see some events we're going to do here with some local chefs and some other things that will really, really give people an idea of how important that is to us, and how important it is to us that that all of Little Rock gets the benefit of these neighborhoods. You know, my wife and I moved here in 2006. She's from North Little Rock originally. And we moved into Argenta. And in 2006, it was still not even half of what it is now. And so we've got to live in a neighborhood that's had that forward momentum and trajectory, and a bunch of interested neighbors that really direct what's going to happen there. And then we get to open a business in such a similar neighborhood. And then we've got the creative corridor happening all down Main Street, which I think will really, really bridge that Argenta, South Main, and downtown together, so that you can bring people from out of town and, you know, you take them to the Clinton Library, and then they see Argenta, and then they go through downtown and see all the great restaurants popping up down there, like Bruno's, and then you're going to bring them over to Soma and see the Governor's Mansion and Central High, and, you know, it's going to be, it's going to be a strip of Little Rock that people can understand what the city's about, and really feel the energy and the passion from people that are down here.
You know, I never thought of it that way, but that is kind of the nice straight shot between here in Argenta, south on Main, all the way back to North Little Rock, actually.
Yeah, and I think that that it will help all those neighborhoods and really promote.
We're back. I'm Mary Tweet, and this is Arkansas Cooks. You can find out more about South on Main by going to their website, southonmain.com, or you can go to my website at arkansascooks.com. Now, if you're interested in writing me, please do, because the stuff that I get is always fantastic. You can write me at mary@arkansascooks.com. I love to get some email. Well, that's all the time we have today for Arkansas Cooks. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank Matthew Bell, and next week we go into the South on Main kitchen. Also, thanks for all the help I get from Travis Hill. He makes me sound so good. This is Mary Tweet reminding all you Arkansas cooks that life is way too short to eat bad food, so only eat great food. Eat it with great people, people that you love. It'll taste so much better.